the Feast of Pentecost is a hinge day, ending the season of Easter and opening up the season after Pentecost, in which the influence of the gift of Holy Spirit unfolds among the disciples and followers of Jesus, but then also all of us. And so over the course of the next couple of months, we'll have a series of sermons that will engage the lives of congregants and how the Spirit works out in their lives, either in the role, the leadership they play at St. Lydia's, or the roles and leadership that they play in daily life in some way. And so Deborah was painting a Pentecost painting for us, and you can see it. Maybe you saw it already. It's hanging inside. You can see it when we go back in. And I asked Deborah, would she do like a dialogue sermon with me about the Spirit and the arts? And so that's what we're going to offer tonight. And I wanted, first of all, I have my list of questions.
Okay.
I first wanted you to tell us a bit about your spiritual experience growing up, and if anything in your early years sparked the path to your current multidisciplinary self.
Wow, that's a good question. Well, for those of you who know that my parents were pastors, and they're pretty staunch in their, I want to say theology, but I won't even know what they call it that, because they're just like more traditional evangelical. And a significant part of my childhood was actually in Taiwan. And so I went to school there, and it felt like there was not, you can say the States, the education's really rigid, but in Taiwan it was far worse. And I've always felt othered and different. And in a sense, you know, when people say the Asian American experience is feeling like a minority, and I always take it to another level, and I'd be like, imagine when everybody on the island looks like you, and yet you feel othered by those who look like you. And so I ended up turning to stories. I filled my head with like folklores, fairy tales. It was my way, I think, of coping. And then I was around that time, my mom's like making me take piano lesson. The teachers were horrid. She said I more have an affinity, I had an ear, a talent for music, but unfortunately it was taught in a way that even if I held my fingers the wrong way on the piano, I was struck on the knuckle. And art was the only way that in the process, as long as I make it look like what it should look like, I was given the space to just go about it how I wanted. So I got to explore, and I got to, I think, be in a way that I felt like I wasn't able to. And art was introduced to me in fourth grade, and I started taking lessons. By the time I was in high school, I was painting a painting a day. And I felt like it was the medium that spoke, expressed, and conveyed on behalf for me in a way that I was too young, even in high school, because I was so shell-shocked in being the other, even though we were already in Southern California by then. I still felt like, I'm not even going to try, because I basically ended up like, by the time I was in sixth grade, I already went through seven schools. And so I just gave up trying. And art just spoke for me. And so I think art gave me the space to be not just with my family in the way my parents left me to my device, like, she's off making art, or like in school they're like, she's the artist. That it was just, it was so, I think, tied to my identity. But when I was in art school, I was introduced to like philosophy and like Bible as a literature, Dead Sea Scrolls, and things that were like, oh my gosh, there's a whole world out there. And that's when I, like, after I got my BFA, I went on to get 3 additional graduate degrees. Yet there is a connection somehow through all of it, because then when I studied theology, it was tied to aesthetics and ethics, beauty and justice, and art as a vehicle for social transformation. And then I got another master's in public administration, which I studied. It was a lot on, like, arts advocacy, arts education advocacy, public art. That's when I really found that, you know, art doesn't, I mean, what I can say is that art doesn't belong to me in the way it did in my immature, I don't even want to judge myself for being that, but it was mine and mine alone. But then I started to see art was, is able and has the potential to really reflect and capture a collective sentiment, an identity that is bigger than just who we are. And every artist, and even us, we all have the potential if we're able to just kind of tap into it. It's almost like a frequency, like a radio, we could dial in. And we all are somehow a vessel of some sort to be able to express and convey at that level. So I hope
It's a perfect segue. I think it's so interesting that you have these multidisciplinary sort of both areas of training, but also areas of work that you weave together. And I was reading about some of your work, and you said that you think this hybridity helps you meet challenges that can't be solved through traditional means, which I thought was fascinating. So why do you think bringing these together can help solve challenges that one or the other of them alone can't? Like, how do you weave them together in a way that...
What do you mean by challenge?
I don't know.
Like, so you're
traditional. you said they give a particular kind of powerful creative problem-solving ability because you bring them together. Mm-hmm. But any one of them wouldn't do that. I was just reading articles about your work, and then
really?
I thought this was so fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in a way like art becoming this piece of a set of things you weave together to in various roles that you play. So how does art fit with the other things that you've done?
I think
theology, administration, conflict resolution, like all those pieces.
I think art in itself is a process that it helps us be open to divergence. Thinking that if we're, let's just say, someone who's doing administration or someone who's doing in any kind of job, there's always like, there's these set rules we need to adhere to. But it's the people who are almost like able to see it in a new light and kind of approach it in a way beyond this set, you know, like procedure and expectations. It's almost like T.S. Eliot's poem, it's like, we shall never cease from exploring, and to arrive as though we're seeing it for the first time. It's this constant renewal process that's regenerative, that requires, it's about perception and approach, that requires this ability to kind of, you know, it's like this innate desire and will to engage it in a way that is compelling and worthwhile. And I also think it ties to like curiosity and a willingness to be open, because once it becomes rote and set in a certain way, I think it loses breath and a potential of what it can be. And that very much ties to life, you know, like when we, let's just say, if we keep approaching a problem the same way over and over again, we're not going to really resolve it. It's when we really take steps back and reflect and consider other possibilities. And it's a welcoming of, like, I don't want to say disorientation, but an unexpected, like, and that which is okay, it's okay to be uncertain. And I think that's what art is about. If you are so certain, then in some ways, like, it's not going to be compelling and worthwhile, because it's already set and it's defined in its parameters. And at least in how I approach art, if I already know how it's going to be done and how in the way, and it's not about exploration anymore.
I thought this was maybe the direction you would go, and so I started thinking about the history of art and its relationship to the church, and the history of the Holy Spirit, actually, in the life of the church. And, you know, there are certain periods of time when art was just controlled by the church. Mm. But then there were times when art sort of broke away and even cultivated spaces of pretty significant critique of religion and of the church. And the same with the Holy Spirit. Like, the Holy Spirit could be completely contained by the hierarchy. But then you can think of, like, the Azusa Street Revival in L.A. and the birth of Pentecostalism, which was actually a pretty subversive movement. And so both art and the spirit seems like create that kind of openness, but it's also kind of dangerous and maybe troublemaking endeavor. So I just wondered how you think about that, both of those together, and the way that they like, where have you found openness to do that kind of work, and have you experienced resistance to doing that kind of work?
Yeah, I mean, you also touched on, like, for those of you who might know, the prophets, right, in the Bible especially, or those who are whistleblowers or ultimately transgressive to the status quo. It's more like, this is not okay, or this should be different. And the spirit is not tied to the material. It's not tied to the known. It's tied to the mysterious, the mystical, the once again, the ambiguous, the potential, and ultimately what isn't, the liminal. And I think that's what artists, it has a transgressive role. Mm-hmm. It's because as soon as the artist is bound and tied to a regime and propaganda, it is now defined and in many ways puppeteered by the powers that be, and it loses the life and the light and the insight and capacity to really challenge the status quo. And so the spirit, as soon as you try to contain and control it, you snuff out too of what can be. And so as much as you say the Pentecostal, when it gets dogmatic and controlling, it too loses breath and potential. And because I somewhat have been a part of the Pentecostal movement, because I lived in LA, and I also got really indignant and annoyed. I'm like, it's about the uncontainable. It's about something, it's kind of wild and powerful and uncertain. And when we are trying to lock it down and tie it to what we know, it's snuffing out the potential.
It's telling that we use fire and wind as the primary symbols for the spirit. Try and contain them.
Yeah.
So
talk about California.
My last question before we open it to sharing the sermon with the congregation is there a question about faith and the arts that I should have asked you that I didn't?
I mean, there's so many things to go into about the faith and the arts, but I think the last bit when you ask about art being once controlled by the church. But we can also say that when you look back in the history of art, it's always tied to ritual and belief system. Mm-hmm. It was so intertwined, there was no separation between art and a belief system. Like, there wasn't. And then once art supposedly broke free, and through the Western lens and our approach to even learning art history and art and through the museums, it is once again, We're showcasing art in these contained boxes, literally. And so what is this about our need to frame it in a way that almost, I would say, very much removes the very, very mystery and life? And there's so much to be said about that. Mm-hmm. So it's more like we're barely covering the surface.
Okay, cool. Well, this could be a spark for a conversation. We share the sermon at St. Lydia's, and so, no, you have to stay up here.
Okay.
We share the sermon at St. Lydia's, and so I invite you to share stories or experiences sparked by the scripture text or by Deborah's reflections on faith and art. We share stories at St. Lydia's because Jesus shared stories, and through stories we get to know each other better. So I'll ring the bell after a brief silence, and when you hear the bell, you're welcome to share.